All right, friends, it's HoopBall promo time. This is big because this is our 2020-2021 NBA season product rollout, and I am so excited to tell you about what we've got. We almost never push our HoopBall products, but this is the window of the year where we need to power that engine. So let me tell you what's out. We've got our draft guide, our flagship shining beacon to the most comprehensive draft guide in fantasy. We cover all over 400 players this season with future access pass to our Brewski 150. Now, if you don't know what the Brewski 150 is, I'm here to give you the need-to-know info. This is the fantasy draft list that has beaten every other list for 10 straight years. And new this year for HoopBall, we're unveiling our monthly membership plans featuring our fantasy pass, draft guide, Brewski 150, our new DFS pass, premium in-season tools, as well as our wager pass for sports bettors. Everything you need, we've got you covered. 365 around the clock, HoopBall Tools is your one-stop shop for your NBA treasure trove of fantasy need-to-know information. All that you need and more, check us out. Head to hoop-ball.com or follow at HoopBallFantasy on Twitter now. Check it out, give us a follow, get your tools, and win your league. All right, friends, it's HoopBall promo time. This is big because this is our 2020-2021 NBA season product rollout, and I am so excited to tell you about what we've got. We almost never push our HoopBall products, but this is the window of the year where we need to power that engine. So let me tell you what's out. We've got our draft guide, our flagship shining beacon to the most comprehensive draft guide in fantasy. We cover all over 400 players this season with future access pass to our Brewski 150. Now, if you don't know what the Brewski 150 is, I'm here to give you the need-to-know info. This is the fantasy draft list that has beaten every other list for 10 straight years. And new this year for HoopBall, we're unveiling our monthly membership plans featuring our fantasy pass, draft guide, Brewski 150, our new DFS pass, premium in-season tools, as well as our wager pass for sports bettors. Everything you need, we've got you covered. 365 around the clock, HoopBall Tools is your one-stop shop for your NBA treasure trove of fantasy need-to-know information. All that you need and more, check us out. Head to hoop-ball.com or follow at HoopBallFantasy on Twitter now. Check it out, give us a follow, get your tools, and win your league.
The following is a HoopBall presentation.
Break it down. What's up, guys? It's Josh Millman. Who are you? Nice to be with you again. It's Wednesday night, November 13th. We've got a 7-game slate of NBA action. And we're going to break it all down for you, go through all the box scores and all that fun stuff. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Kurt Beach. Kurt, what's up, dude?
Josh, I'm living the dream, my good man. How are you?
I'm all right, man. You're always living the dream. You have good dreams, buddy.
Yeah. Some people will tell me nightmares are dreams, too.
I know this, but, like, you do. You're pumped up. Oh, I need to live the dream. I need to live the Kurt Beach dream.
You can, man.
I love it.
Yeah. Come swing by anytime.
Dude, that's a bit of a hike for me all the way out there in Alaska. So
that's true.
I don't know. It's cold enough. Where I am, I don't know if I can make that trek. It's a bit of an adventure.
Man, you know what's crazy? We don't even have any snow here. I'm seeing a lot of places down in the Continental 48 are getting a good amount of snow. We haven't seen any.
Oh yeah, I'm currently in Kansas City, and they'd already gotten hit, and I landed, and it was 15 degrees.
Oh wow!
Out here, so it was not fun waiting for a rental car in 15 degree weather, but we digress, folks. We can bitch and moan about the cold plenty because we got a whole lot of winter ahead of us, but instead we've got box scores to break down. But before we do that, as always, we need to talk to you about our good friends at Hawaiian Isles Kona Coffee Company. And this podcast, box score breakdown, like all of our shows, is brought to you by our title sponsor, Hawaiian Isles Kona Coffee Company. Check out their website at HawaiianIsles.com, on Amazon by searching for Hawaiian Isles Kona Coffee, or on Twitter at HI Kona Coffee. We have a Brews Letter. That's right. A very special announcement that our founder, the great, the one and only Aaron Brewski, has decided to write an email newsletter for the 2019-2020 season. It's exclusive content you can't find anywhere else. It's not on the website. It's not on a podcast. It's not me jabbering on about it. It's not on social media. You only get access to Brewski through his email newsletter. So if you want access to the Godfather, just go to hoop-ball.com/newsletter. Sign up. Takes 10 seconds. And again, it's hoop-ball.com/newsletter. And this gives you access to the man himself, Aaron Brewski, straight to your inbox every week. All of his fantasy thoughts cobbled into one newsletter. So go check it out. And also, some of our content. Frank Ntilikina has to keep starting. So HoopBall's own Mike Pasador has, like all of us, watched the Knicks. And he's watched their rotations with horror and all of David Fizdale's shenanigans. And his latest article, Mike dives into the key reasons why Frank Ntilikina should become a fixture in the starting five. And check out all of our team coverage articles by clicking on the deep coverage link at hoop-ball.com. And if you're somebody that's looking to break into the industry from a journalistic standpoint, you're not going to get too many chances like this to grow a growing platform, to join a growing platform, get a foot in the door. Let us know by shooting an email to teamhoopball@gmail.com. That's again, email to teamhoopball@gmail.com if you want to come and try to join our illustrious team of fantasy analysts. Kurt, 7 games we got to break down.
Yes, sir.
We're going to start with the Memphis Grizzlies and the Charlotte Hornets. Memphis Grizzlies winning 119-117, the last second heroics by Ja Morant. I am going to take us through the Grizzlies side of things. We'll break those guys down. We'll then get into the Hornets. You know how we do by now. If you're listening, you know how we roll. Kurt and I are going to take a team piece, just ask each other questions, give you some fantasy ramifications. And here we go. And the hero again, Ja Morant, led all scorers with 23 points. Also chipped in 11 assists, had a steal, had a three-pointer, also had 4 turnovers. Besides the points and assists, it's not that full of a box score, if you will, but still. We'll take 23 and 11. Ja Morant's value's kind of been all over the place. Had some great games, not some not so good games. I guess typical rookie type stuff, but this was one of his better ones. So it was nice to see. Hopefully it's a sign of things to come for him. He's going to have still plenty of good games in his future. Jonas Valanciunas, 18 and 13 with 2 assists, 1 block, no 3-pointers, and no attempts at the stripe, but was 9 of 14 from the floor. And again, the beautiful thing about Jonas Valanciunas is he did this in 23 minutes. And that's why we love him, because he doesn't need a lot of time, but he is extremely effective when he's on the floor, can double-double with the best of them, effective field goal percentage, can chip in threes, can get you some blocks, can really do it all. Solid night for him. Jaren Jackson Jr., 16 points, 6 boards, an assist, a steal, and a block, 5-9 shooting. 4 three-pointers and perfect at the line. Great night for him. He's put together a few good games recently after his knee troubles. But it's the kind of line that he might still fly under the radar a bit. Maybe there's still some buy-low opportunity. Maybe someone seeing he only took 9 shots, only 1 steal, 1 block. Maybe people aren't paying that too much mind. Jaren Jackson Jr., we know we love him here around here, so... very well possible that there still might be a buy-low window opportunity, because we know he can play. We know he's good. Again, we expect good things out of him to come as well. Dylan Brooks, another solid night for him. 15 points, 4 assists, 3 boards, 2 steals and a block on 6 of 13 shooting, and 3 of 6 from downtown. He's put together some pretty solid lines also, and so much so that he's climbed into the top 100. Over his past several weeks. I'm not sure this will keep up, but his minutes seem to have stabilized. He's getting starter level minutes. Hey, you know, like, look, if he hasn't been scooped up already, he's definitely worth a flyer. You should be able to grab him just with the kind of run that he's going to get on this Memphis Grizzlies team. Brandon Clark off the bench, 13 points, 6 boards, 2 assists, no defensive stats to speak of, and a 3-pointer. Only 21 minutes. Not losing much faith here. Again, we know that he can fill it up in a limited amount of time as well. We would love for them to let the rookie loose. But that's really only going to happen if Triple J or Jonas Valanciunas are hurt or missing time. And really, that's all I see. Marko Gudurić, 17 points, 2 boards. I'm not going to pay this too much mind. 20 minutes for him, but mostly empty calories and points, but a good shooting night for him. Kurt, anything else you got for me on the Grizzly side?
Josh, you nailed it. The only thing, I just echo the JJJ stuff. He's, you know, he struggled with foul trouble and a little bit of injury early on. And like you said, that buy low window's probably closing after these last few games, but maybe you can still slip an offer out there. Otherwise, I don't have anything. You want to hear about the Hornets?
Let's do it, baby.
Alrighty. So PJ Washington, one of the early season pickups, 5 points, 3 rebounds, an assist, 2 blocks, and a 3. Kind of quiet line from him. But as with all rookies, he's going to be a little up and down, but still worth owning. Miles Bridges, 14 points, 7 assists, a steal, a block, 2 threes. He's going to plot along probably at a mid-round kind of value. Again, he's a tiny bit up and down, but hold on tight there. Cody Zeller, he had a couple down games, but he's getting back in his groove with 16 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and a 3. Definitely hold on there. Terry Rozier had a really good game. Played 37 minutes. He went for 33 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, 7 threes, and 5 turnovers. So that's about as good of a line as you're going to see with Terry. The shooting, 13 of 21. That's great. That's not something you're going to see every night, but a very, very good line from Terry Rozier here. Devontae Graham, one of the early season pickups of the year. He started in place of Dwayne Bacon, so this is not necessarily a permanent thing. And he went for 19 points, 4 assists, 1 rebound, 4 threes, and also had 5 turnovers. The minutes were great. Starting job's pretty good. I think he might actually be better coming off the bench, though. He's had some really monster lines off the bench. But then again, you know, first time starting, syncing up with the starters, it would be understandable that this one is actually a little bit quieter by his standards. Off the bench, Malik Monk had a serviceable line here, 20 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, a 3. And other than that, not a whole lot to see off the bench. Willie Hernangómez didn't get in the game. Again, Dwayne Bacon was out in this one, so this move with Devontae Graham, maybe it'll stick, maybe it won't. Definitely worth monitoring. Josh, what's your take on these Hornets?
I like these Hornets because they play such a shallow rotation now. I think what we went from, we weren't sure where the value was going to come from on this team, and we've now kind of seen a bit of a stabilization on this team because we know that, you know, Rozier is going to be your starting point guard. Typically, Graham comes off the bench, and then we get, you know, between guys like Bacon and Monk playing one of the wings and Bridges the other, Washington at the 4, and Zeller at the 5, and that's really it. That's your really 7-man rotation, and I question what will happen when Nick Batum comes back. But it's nice on a night like when Bacon's out because you can pretty much bank on a guy like Malik Monk coming in and stepping up when he's out. And same thing, if Rozier misses games, it's going to be Graham. And there's all, you know, those kinds of different combinations that they have because they're playing a fairly shallow and consistent rotation. So you can anticipate, especially you daily leaguers out there, if someone's out, you know who's going to step in and play and be able to contribute. So it's a nice to have for a young Charlotte team that plays, you know, kind of with reckless abandon here. So they've been nice fantasy finds on the season, I will say.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to, we're going to move on to the Orlando Magic and the Philadelphia 76ers. Magic winning 112-97 on the Sixers side. Josh Richardson led all scorers, 19 points, 6 boards, 5 assists, and a steal. 50% shooting, 2 of 4 from deep, 3 of 5 at the line. Decent all-around night. Can't really quibble with this one too much. You know, he got the steal. No other defensive stats really to speak of. Richardson been a little up and down. I think still trying to find his groove on this team. But again, because we know that Simmons has been hurt and Bede's in and out of the lineup, he'll still be able to get his. And this was a night where he did. Ben Simmons, back from his shoulder injury, 18 points, 8 boards, 5 assists, no defensive stats to speak of, 9 of 12 shooting. This is who Ben Simmons is. Unfortunately, there were no defensive stats to speak of. But again, no three-pointers to speak of. He did not make it to the line, so that actually might have helped you, considering he's not that great of a free-throw shooter. But points, boards, not quite his usual allotment of assists. But again, this game was pretty much in Orlando's favor. So probably didn't need his overall usage too much. Considering this game was mostly in Orlando's favor. Al Horford, in place of Joel Embiid, 14 points, 8 boards, 2 assists, no defensive stats, 3 turnovers. Had a pretty woeful 5 of 18 shooting night. I think, again, he soaks up such a ton of usage with Embiid off the floor, and just he had a pretty lousy shooting night. I think he was frustrated by some of the size and length from guys like Jonathan Isaac and Nick Vucevic. So struggled to shoot, but again, still delivering plenty of value on the season. So I wouldn't panic whether or not Embiid is in or out of the lineup. Tough night for Tobias Harris shooting as well. 4 of 13 from the floor, 8 points, 10 boards, 6 assists. But he did have 2 steals and a block, so it did offset a little bit of the poor shooting. He did not have a three-pointer. Better times ahead for Harris, obviously. We're not super concerned about his value. We know he can fill out the box score, and not concerned about delivering his value. Every game can't be great, if you will. Firkin Korkmaz, 9 points in a spot start, and not much else to speak of. A steal on poor shooting. I think again we can ignore this. And we like Korkmaz if you're trying to stream three pointers. But not much else. And this line is indicative of that. Even 28 minutes really couldn't do much with the opportunity. And again, the Sixers bench is just empty. No one else really stepping in here. James Ennis, 18 minutes, had 10 points and 2 boards and a turnover. Kyle O'Quinn did get a little bit of minutes with Embiid hurt, 5 points. 6 boards, 5 assists, 2 blocks. Not bad. Was able to fill it up. But again, this is pretty rare, and I wouldn't put too much fantasy stock into that. And this bench is, again, even with starters out, they're going to heavily lean on their starting 5, maybe a guy like Korkmaz, maybe a guy like Mike Scott here and there, but not a whole lot else to really speak of. Kurt, what else you got for me?
The only thing I got, like you said, Korkmaz. I streamed him in a spot for those threes and points because in the last 7, he'd been putting up about 13, close to 14 points a game in 3 threes. Of course, the night I pick him up, he goes, it's his lowest scoring night and fewest amount of triples he's got in his 7, 8.
Doesn't that figure always,
that's,
right?
That's how it goes, you know? you want to hear about the Magic side?
Give me some Magic.
All right, sir. Aaron Gordon, he's not... You know, the fantasy darling, some people would have you believe, but had one of his better lines tonight. 18 points, 13 boards, 7 dimes, a steal, a block, 3 threes. Good night for Gordon. Jonathan Isaac, he's been amazing this year. 12 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, a block. No steals and no threes tonight, but he's going to be just fine. He's, you know, he's probably not going to finish the first round value that he's putting up right now, but... 35 minutes is key here. You know, last year he battled some injuries and we thought, you know, if he could get consistent minutes, this guy's going to be great. He's getting the minutes this year. Nothing to be concerned about. Vucevic had 25 and 12 with 2 assists, 2 threes. Good Vuce line. Markelle Fultz still starting. Only had 21 minutes though. 8 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal. He's going to figure it out, I think, at some point during the season. I think there's going to be some point in the season you're going to be thrilled to have him. But he's not a must-own guy in 12-teamers right now, maybe in 14 or 16-teamers, or if he's somebody that you can bench and just wait for him to go big. Because off the bench, you know, DJ Augustine still got 27 minutes for 12-8 with a steal and a 3. Evan Fournier was all right in the starting lineup. The other guy here that stands out to me is Terrence Ross, who's had a really bad season by his standards. And he'd been splitting a little bit of time with Aminu off the bench. Well, tonight, Aminu only got 2 minutes, and Ross played 26 minutes, which I think is one of his higher numbers of the year. And that's all he needs to be fantasy relevant. So he put in 13 points, 3 rebounds, assists, 2 steals, and 3 threes. He's not usually going to do a whole lot more besides score and hit threes, but last year he averaged close to 15 points and 3 threes, and he did it in about 26 minutes. So if these minutes are going to stick, if he's finding his shot, I'm definitely keeping a close eye on him. If I have somebody who I'm itching to drop at the end of my bench, I'll take a shot on Ross. Like in that league where I picked up Korkmaz, I would happily swap him for Ross. Josh, what's your take on these Magic?
You really covered it. I think, great job there, Kurt. Keep your eye on Terrence Ross because, dealt with a little bit of injury issue, struggled with his shot. But there's not a whole lot of bench scoring that they can really talk to. And if their starters are off, they need that spark. And he's been the guy who typically delivers it. Wasn't a great shooting night for him, but we know he can fill it up. So anyone who gave up on him, that's fine and good, but just keep your eye on him because he can get hot in a hurry. Mm-hmm. Vooch is probably the quietest top 15 guy of all time. But it's crazy because he just keeps delivering value. He doesn't do it. It's nothing flashy, but he keeps delivering 20 and 10 lines, steal block here and there, three-pointers here and there. It's money in the bank. And a lot of people say, oh, he's, having a slow start. He's top 15 player on the year. It's crazy that, it seems slow for Vooch. He just hasn't really had those, big monster line yet, but they're coming. And so enjoy that. And, I'm not a fan of Aaron Gordon, but this was overall a nice night for him. So that helped boost him back into the top 100 conversation, which was nice as well. We are going to move on to a wild game. The Boston Celtics continue to stay hot. The world is crumbling around them, but they just keep winning ball games, 140 to 133. Beating the Washington Wizards. On the Wizards side, it was the Bradley Beal show, 44 points, 6 assists, 5 boards, a steal, 17 of 27 shooting. It seems like Beal is starting to figure it out a little bit more. I know that there was some struggles early on, just some poor shooting, turnovers, etc., and that was kind of to be expected, knowing that he was going to have such heavy usage. But he's had a couple of good games recently. 44 points in a line like this, nothing to sneeze at all. And, just be prepared because he can fill it up. He's going to be a box score monster this year. And this is the kind of night that he can put together. It's just a matter of stringing these types of games along instead of just being, one every so often, just getting them consecutively, having weeks that can really – dominate and help you win those kinds of head-to-head weeks on his own. Rui Hachimura, 21 points, 4 boards, 2 assists, a steal. Cooled off a little bit before his hot start, but this was a nice night for him. Good scoring night. Thomas Bryant, 14 points, 7 boards, and assists, 2 blocks. Not a great shooting night for Thomas Bryant, only 5 of 13. But you know what? Not the worst. He's been a solid find for most of the year, borderline top 50 player. So I wouldn't worry about this one too much because he's been producing. Isaiah Thomas, this was a bit of a revenge narrative game for him, returning to Boston again, where he did get a nice ovation. I'm sure he felt the love, and I'm sure he wanted to stick it to his old team. 18 points, 7 assists, a rebound on 7-14 shooting, three-pointers as well. No defensive stats, but again, Isaiah Thomas, I mean, has locked into that starting role. He's had a nice rebound to his season. Again, hang on to him. So long as he's healthy, he's going to get the run there, and he should be able to produce in that kind of top 100 range, if you will, that they can deliver. Troy Brown Jr., spot start for him. They're trying to get him going because they know that he has top 100 potential as well. But only 7 points, 5 assists, 2 boards, and not a whole lot else. A quiet night. All the usage went over to Beal. So it's going to be a little bit of a struggle for him to find his way. He might be better off being a bench scorer. Again, he's a guy that they believe in. So hopefully there will be some more nights because he can show it in flashes. Mo Wagner off the bench. It's always hysterical looking at the box scores. If you don't watch the games, I imagine like Mo Wagner is just a baby deer during deer season who got lost on an NBA basketball court and is struggling to keep his footing. Because in 18 minutes, he had 12 points, but he also had 3 turnovers and 5 personal fouls. I truly don't know how he does this. And, Kurt, it feels like every time that we do the box score breakdown and Washington's playing, Mo Wagner is getting himself fouled out or just turning the ball over like crazy in a limited period of time. I've never seen anything like it before. But you know what? Who else are the Wizards going to trot out on a regular basis? So I guess, Mo is just going to keep hanging on. Davis Bertans, 27 minutes, 9 points, 10 boards, 3 assists and a block. Some solid value for him. Again, that kind of borderline top 100 guy because he can get rebounds, he can score off the bench, chip in threes. Hang on to Bertans. He's a nice end-of-the-bench guy for you. And that's really it on the Wizards side. Kurt. Sorry, man. I called you Curse. Like, I was going to Curse. What else you got for me on the Wizards? Anything. Nothing.
The only thing I got, and it's probably not even relevant, Isaac Bonga was a DNP CD off the bench. He was starting earlier in the year, and some people were picking him up. Isaac Bonga. So he's a cut in all leagues. We talked about how once Troy Brown got up to speed, he'd probably take over Bonga and his position, and we're seeing it happen. So he's a cut in all leagues. Otherwise, Josh, you nailed everything.
I just think we like saying Isaac Bonga.
Isaac Bonga. Yes, sir.
Go on, sir. Give all me the right.
All right, the Celtics here. So, again, they're out. They're without Gordon Hayward for 6 weeks, I believe. You all probably know that news by now. Jason Tatum had a nice line, 23-3 with 4 assists and a 3. No defensive stats, but only 1 turnover. 35 minutes. Pretty nice. Kemba Walker had a nice Kemba line, 25-5-5, 6 triples. Very nice. And his shooting's coming around. He struggled with his shot a little earlier on. We knew that was due for a regression, so that's looking good. Marcus Smart, he's been doing better in Hayward's absence, especially in the threes department. 4 threes tonight, 17 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists. Jaylen Brown, I have to admit, I am not usually a fan of this guy's game, and I don't usually even take him if he's sitting there in the 12th or 13th round in my drafts. Something about him is just not exciting to me, and I know he's a younger guy. But he's been a nice surprise. He had 22 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, no threes, but good shooting from the field, 9 of 19, and perfect from the stripe. And he's going to get definitely more opportunity with Hayward out. So he's been a nice surprise, also like somebody else we'll talk about later on. Daniel Theis and the Time Lord Robert Williams III were out today. Time Lord had a sore right ankle, and Theis, I think he had a hangnail or something. So because of that, Kanter got the start. He had his return recently, and he only played 6 minutes, so people were panicking after holding him with injured tag for 7-8 games and getting nothing out of him, and then he returns to play 6 minutes. So he's going to ramp up slowly, but I do think tonight's line could be a little deceiving because with those big guys out, he got 25 minutes for 13-9 with 2 assists and a steal. And I don't know. after the last game where he only played 6 minutes, and I said, like I said, understandable because he's ramping up slow. He just came off an injury. I think that kind of speaks volume that Tyson Williams were still getting a good amount of minutes out there then. So might be crazy, but he could be a sell high guy. Not that this is a super high line, but I'm just not very optimistic about his upside this year. Off the bench, Carson Edwards, an intriguing rookie, played 20 minutes, and he had 18 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, and 4 threes. He's probably not somebody that you're going to want to look at in a standard league, but 14 or 16 teamers, I could see it. Other than that, yeah, that's really my take on the Celtics. Josh, what do you have?
It's incredible how small this lineup is. They're playing smart, like a small forward type of position, and just and playing and giving Carson Edwards those extra minutes with Gordon Hayward out. Yeah. No, I think you just about covered it. Yeah, the Cantor thing is kind of, you know, look, we know he can do his offensive thing in a short period of time, but this is he's never going to be a 30 minute per night guy. So 25, this might be what you typically see from an Enes Kanter, and perhaps there's still a little bit of rust. Can get the scoring, he can get the rebounding up, but just don't expect anything more than that, you know, because he is who he is. High field goal percentage, boards, points, but not a whole lot else. You know, there's still going to be a lot of, this isn't like his time with the Knicks where he was the only offensive option. There's still guys who could fill it up like Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Kemba Walker. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to need to rely on his scoring, but they will need to rely on his rebounding. So as long as Williams is hurt, as long as Tice still has his hangnail, which is actually a sprained finger, not a hangnail there, Kurt. But he should be able to get some time. But again, I don't foresee his minutes exceeding beyond that mid 20 level, even with Time Lord and Tice back, whenever they are fully healthy. So I think you got it just about right there. We will move on to Clippers and Rockets. Houston wins 102-93 against the Clippers. On the Clippers side, Kawhi Leonard just doing Kawhi Leonard things as usual. 26 points, 12 boards, 7 assists, a steal, a block. 10 of 24, 3 three-pointers, 4 turnovers. So, look, great line all around. You could do without the 4 turnovers. Shooting percentage, probably not that great. But again, you know, he's trying to do it all for this team until PG-13 comes back. Which is right around the corner. In other news, the starting five is it's like Kawhi, and then just, oh man, gets a little dicey after that. Mo Harkless, only 9 points, 3 boards, and an assist. He dealt with a little bit of foul trouble with a minus 20 while he was on the floor, so and played 24 minutes. Vika Zubac, only 10 minutes played. 7 points, 4 boards, and 2 assists. Pat Beverly, who was going to get the James Harden and Russell Westbrook assignments, 6 points, 2 boards, and assists, and fouled out as well. Look, you're never going to look to him for offense, but you would hope a little bit of steals, some assists, some boards. Didn't really accomplish that. He was too busy chasing around Harden and Westbrook for the most of the night. The bench mob is really what does it for the Clippers, and it's no different. Lou Williams played 41 minutes tonight, 8 of 22, 20 points, 7 boards, 4 assists, a ton of usage tonight. He was all over the court, just still wasn't enough to pull out a victory. J. Michael Green, big double-double, 14 points, 14 boards, 2 steals, a block. You know, he's done this, you know, throughout the year where they you know, they're able to give him ample minutes, and he's able to contribute some scoring and some boards. But again, I'm not rushing to buy him only because we really don't know how this team is going to look once Paul George returns, and his minutes may suffer as a result. Montrezl Harrell, 38 minutes. Poor shooting night, though. 2 of 10 from the floor. 9 boards, 2 assists, a block. Yeah, Harrell's going to have better shooting nights because, you know, he's good typically from a field goal perspective. But he had his hands full with Capella in this one. Just wasn't a solid night all around. But better times ahead for Harrell. We're not worried about him very much, nor his role, because he's very different. We are worried about Lou Williams' role just from a scoring perspective with Paul George coming back. But Harrell's got that big man role off the bench on lockdown, scoring boards, block shots. We know what he can deliver, so we're not concerned about his value. Kurt, anything else on the Clippers?
The only thing I got is PG. You guys probably all know this if you're stashing him. I think he was questionable coming into today. So I think there was some talk that maybe he could get out there. He's getting close. If you bought low on him with him being injured, congratulations. At this point, it's probably not going to happen, because anyone who sat on him for the first 10 games is stoked about getting a potential first-round guy back. But, you know, there's going to be some load management mixed in there, probably some down nights. He's not going to get those career numbers that he had in almost every category last year. So if he runs out there and has a few lackluster games, you might be able to send some buy low offers out there. What do you think, Josh?
We're going to have to monitor those first few games. I'm with you. Like, I don't expect a full 30 plus minute type of workload for Paul George. I don't think they would rush him back if they didn't think that he could handle, you know, minutes in the upper 20s, let's say. But to expect what he did in OKC is probably a bit foolish. But even an upper 20 minute Paul George, that's still a top 50 player that's coming back. So
absolutely,
you know, get ready. And get excited if you still have him. Kurt, give me the Rockets, my man.
All right, sir. Usual suspect here. PJ Tucker, 39 minutes for 6-3 with 2 steals and 2 triples. A little bit of a quieter game from him. But Daniel House is a little banged up. I don't remember exactly how long he'll be out, but PJ could take a few more of those threes. Clint Capella. He started off the season a little quieter, and everyone thought Westbrook's going to steal his rebounds. He's not going to get you the double-digit rebounds anymore. I believe this is now his third game with 20 or more rebounds. I could be wrong, but I know he's had 20-plus quite a few times here recently. So 12-20 with 2 blocks in 32 minutes. That's exactly what you want out of Capella. And he didn't murder you at the free throw line. He was a nice 0% on 0-2, but you know, usually he'll take more than that, so not too bad there. Russell Westbrook had a rough shooting night from the field, going 6-20 for 17 points, only 2 rebounds, only 2 assists, and no steals. So a little bit of a bummer for Westbrook, but you knew he was going to take a little bit of a ding with Harden around. I don't think it's going to be this much on an average night. Speaking of Harden, he got up there for 44 minutes. And this is a regulation game for 47 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals, 7 threes, and a pristine 16 of 17 from the free throw line, in addition to 12 of 26 from the field, which is usually an area where he struggles. Man, Harden, I was lucky to land him in a couple drafts around, I think, pick 2 and pick 4, and I am just thrilled to have him. If we were drafting today, I think he'd compete with Towns for me as a 1-2. Anyway, Ben McLemore got the start with Daniel House out. He didn't do a whole lot, 8-5 with an assist and a steal, 2 threes. Not a standard league guy with the amount of minutes he got tonight, but deep leaguers, you could keep an eye on him. Off the bench, Austin Rivers actually got 34 minutes for 7 points, 4 rebounds, and a triple. Not much else. Again, deep leaguers, you're looking for any kind of value. And minutes is opportunity, so keep an eye on Rivers. Other than that, yeah, that's all I'm seeing here, Josh. What's your take on the Rockets?
Rockets are also a tight rotation team. This was Capella's third 20-rebound night in a row. Really impressive, but he left the game early, ran into J. Michael Green, and may have suffered a concussion. So we'll have to monitor that news, because he had been on fire after having a little bit of a tough stretch over the last few games. But his last four games, he's been red hot, and he got himself back into top 15 value on the strength of some excellent rebounding, great percentages. So losing Capella would be quite the blow. And Westbrook, we kind of knew that there he'd be taking a back seat to a degree to Harden. I just, he's now just kind of barely a top 75 player on the season. And I think that there's still going to be a bit of a learning curve. I'm sure the both he and Harden will be just happy no matter what with the W. I just think we as fantasy players would just like to be able to, for them to coexist just a little bit better, so that they're both feeding off each other, and it's not just one guy picking up the other in these situations, which it seems to be just Harden just riding the hot hand right now. Kurt, I'm going to take us over to the Minnesota Timberwolves and the San Antonio Spurs. What do you think, man?
Yes, sir. And I know there's somebody here that you want to talk about, so I'm going to let you go ahead on the Timberwolves side.
Yeah, so why don't you get us started on the San Antonio Spurs?
You got it. So LaMarcus Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan did about what you expect from them. 23-4-2 with a block for Aldridge. DeRozan 27-5-4 with a steal and two blocks. Again, just kind of another day at the office for them. Trey Lyles got a start and went scoreless in 22 minutes for 11 boards. Not a standard league dude. Deontay Murray, 11 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, no steals, no blocks, no threes. 7-7 from the free throw line. Kind of a quiet night for him. We know they're still monitoring his minutes. Bryn Forbes, he had 13 points with 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 triples. He's really not much more than your 3-point streamer kind of guy, but he's a starter. So, he's one of the more consistent ones on a night-to-night basis. Off the bench, we have Rudy Gay, who chipped in 10 and 8 with 3 assists, a block, and that's about it. He's having a quietly serviceable season. Nothing to write home about. Derek White, 25 minutes, so he got more than Murray today. 5 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds, and a steal. Again, if you own White, you're still looking forward to the days where maybe he could get into the starting lineup and play alongside Murray. But until then, it's going to be a really frustrating ride. I see him on the wires in a lot of leagues, minus some of the super competitive ones where people are holding on real tight. In your average 12-team league, he's probably a drop, even in 14-teamers. Let's see, beyond that, there's really not a whole lot to say from these Spurs. Josh, what do you have on them?
I want to add just a little bit of a wrinkle here in that DeMar DeRozan's name came up in trade rumors today.
Really?
With a rumor that there was interest expressed by the Orlando Magic in DeMar DeRozan. So, I'm always curious to see like how guys play when their names come up in trade rumors, and this didn't seem to affect him at all. Again, with a great line, 27 points, 3 defensive stats. He's still not shooting the 3 ball, but again, still a great offensive night for him. And I think it's a bit of an added wrinkle for guys who knows that DeRozan's kind of struggled a little bit. And so have the Spurs, and so have the Magic, for that matter. So we just wonder if there isn't a potential shakeup coming. It could just be a rumor, but again, just something to keep in the back of our minds. But again, I think, like you said, Kurt, this is a tough backcourt to figure out. Mm-hmm. Some nights Murray looks like a world beater in limited minutes, and other times he's just really struggling to kind of coexist and juggle minutes with guys like Forbes and White and Patty Mills. And hopefully they can get that figured out, because I don't think it's doing this team any bit of service. I don't think it's doing Aldridge any bit of service, DeRozan either. Hopefully they can get Murray to a point where they can get him back into more of a full-time schedule. I know that this was a serious knee injury he suffered, but hopefully – There will be more opportunities and more minutes for him to come. And with that said, I'm going to jump over to the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to look. I don't even know why I'm so excited about this. it's more just like validation that when, you know, I made a bold prediction and everyone was kind of like, "What? Are you out of your mind? You and your ridiculous hot takes. Come on, get out of here with that." Guys, Andrew Wiggins right now on the season is the 13th ranked player in non-category leagues. 13, 1-3, not 130th, 13th, as in borderline first round value. And guess what? He was at it again tonight. 30 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, a block, 12 of 23 from the floor, 4 of 7 from deep, perfect at the stripe. I don't think this is ignorable anymore, and I don't think anyone is saying that it's ignorable. We were talking last week like, oh yeah, maybe there's a sell high opportunity. What could you possibly get for the 13th ranked player? You think anyone's going to give up a Giannis Antetokounmpo or Paul George for him at this point? I'm sure there might be still a bit of healthy skepticism that he can continue this, and maybe, yeah, like there's going to be some poor shooting nights. But guys, this was what I was saying. Maybe not this to this degree, but he was young. He needed some good coaching. He needed Jimmy Butler out of Minnesota. He needed some confidence, and he's gotten all of that. And guess what? He's showing life on the defensive end as well. He's showing more maturity with his shot selection. And the other thing is, he's not turning the ball over constantly. Of all players within the top 15, the only people within the top 15 with less turnovers per game than him are Clint Capela and Nick Vucevic, two centers who don't always touch the ball as frequently as Andrew Wiggins does. And Andrew Wiggins only has a turnover and a half per game. Better ball care, better shot selection, better defense, and lo and behold, the talent is taking over because he has just been outstanding on the season. And again, this my initial prediction was just don't write him off. You cannot assume that his career at that young age was etched in stone. And that's really just more my excitement because, you know, I'm a basketball fan, and I love seeing talent come to the surface. And it's not as if the kid wasn't talented, not athletic. He is now really just beginning to scratch the surface. And good on Andrew Wiggins. And, of course, the Timberwolves are 7-4 as a result. And one of the nice early surprises on the young season. Also, Karl-Anthony Towns, 28 points, 11 boards, 4 assists, 2 steals. A very solid all-around Karl Towns kind of night. No blocks, but, again, he did have a couple steals in there. 3 3-pointers as well, and 11 of 13 from the stripe. So a really great first-round kind of night for Karl-Anthony Towns. Robert Covington, 10 points, 5 boards, a steal. Quietish night for him, and he's kind of taking a back seat to Wiggins, you know, both in the scoring department as well as some area, other areas like defense and boards. I'm not super concerned. I think that he will still have the ability to get his. But this was not his best night. And the truth of the matter is he's still been a top 30-something player. It's just that, you know, the defensive stats are what drives him. The three-pointers and the cash counters are what drives him. Just didn't have a ton of those tonight. But, again, we're not concerned about Covington and his value. And if you think anyone would be because of Wiggins' emergence, by all means, line up your offers for him because he's a solid NBA player. Trayvon Graham, 27 minutes, but not a whole lot much to do there. Again, Jeff Teague returned but came off the bench. So Graham got another start, but don't expect that trend to continue. Jared Culver, also 27 minutes, 6 of 10 shooting for 12 points. Some nice defensive stats, a steal, a couple blocks. Four boards and three assists, but again, with Jeff Teague returning, playing 23 minutes off the bench for 18 points, six assists, and two steals, his starting spot secure. I'm sure he's just getting over his injury and illness. So it'll be nice to get him back full time. But anyone who is playing those guys as kind of spot starts, that you can return them to your benches and your waiver wires. Also, Jake Layman off the bench, 29 minutes, 7-9 shooting, 16 points, a couple steals, and three boards as well. Seems to be a solid bench scorer then, over there. Okogie, again, more of the defensive guy. He did have 10 rebounds and a steal. Those guys are kind of going to split the bench responsibility there. I don't know that I necessarily like either one of them. I say Okogie has more upside, but he hasn't really shown the offensive chops. He was only 1 of 8 tonight. So keep an eye on them, but don't invest too much in that bench. Kurt, what else you got for me?
Josh, the only thing I have to piggyback on is Wiggins, man, because you were so right. I think our first show we talked about Wiggins, and you're like, don't write this guy off. He's still young. And I'm like, I don't know, Josh. We kind of know who he is, you know, and what he does. It's scoring and not a whole lot else. And wow. What an absolute beast. Like you mentioned, the rankings. What has been surprising for me, I mean, all his stats are surprising, but 1.1 blocks? This is an 11-game sample size. Like you said, this is not, you can't really write this off as a fluke anymore. Their coaches talked about in the season how they wanted to unlock Wiggins' potential. And even though it seems like he's been in the league for ages, and somebody like that, you kind of get this mentality in your mind, like, it's, you know, it's who they are, and they're not going to change. He's only 24. These stats are just insane. Like, 25 points a game is a career high for him. Field goal percentage at 47 is a career high. Threes at 2.2 is a career high. Rebounds at 4.8 is a career high. Assists, 3.3 is a career high. We mentioned the blocks. And he's also, you would think doing all that, he's bound to turn it over more. That 1.5 turnovers is a career low. So what an absolute beast. I got to tell you, this guy, like I said, he was sitting there around 100, 120 in most drafts. And I did not pick him up anywhere. Incredible, incredible steal if you own him anywhere. And, you know, to be honest, I think Teague being out really helped a lot. I think he was already putting up great numbers, but it really forced him to kind of take control. And some are arguing right now this is more of Wiggins' team than Towns's. So pretty crazy, amazing value. One of the biggest surprises on the season for me, him and I think Brandon Ingram are doing kind of similar things. And it's just great. Like you said, you love to see somebody that has the talent finally put it together. So if you have Wiggins,
yeah,
great job. Great call, Josh. Love it.
Thank you. Yeah, look, the lesson is just don't write off talent. Don't write off talent. There's usually a reason why these guys are drafted the way they are. And sometimes it's just a matter of getting the right coaching and getting the right situation in place. You know, same thing, like you said, Brandon Ingram, another great example of that happening. Talented kid, just needed the right opportunity, and he was thriving, and hopefully he gets back and his knee issue isn't significant. Same thing with Jaylen Brown. You're starting to see that there in Boston, you know, and they're going to need to lean on him with Gordon Hayward out for a significant amount of time. But again, you cannot write off talent because again, it just takes, not everyone can come in and take the lead by storm. It takes a few years to get things situated, get the right coaching in order. But these guys have seemingly figured out. And again, it's been one of the great stories so far early in the season. Moving on to the Raptors and the Portland Trailblazers. This one just went final. The Raptors beating the Portland Trailblazers 114-106. Blazers are struggling, man. 4-8 and only 1-4 at home. It's a very bizarre record for them. And the Raptors, 8-3. And even though they've been dealing with a whole bunch of losses on their own, Siakam and Van Vliet just keeping the band together and keep on winning. So, you know, no Ibaka, no Lowry, no Kawhi Leonard for that matter. doesn't matter. They just keep on winning. That's a Siakam is a beast. 36 points, 6 boards, 3 assists, a steal, a block, 4 of 7 from deep, 15 of 28 from the floor in 41 minutes. I mean, my God, like this is like someone asked on Twitter I saw, can someone win the most improved player award 2 years in a row? Is that even possible? Because he is just an elite player at this point. He, you know, we believe that he could make the leap, you know, into a superstar player, and he's showing it, and it's incredible. You know, dare I say, maybe even an early MVP candidate. That might be a bit of a stretch, but like that's the kind of caliber play that he's bringing to this Raptors team. Fred VanVleet, 40 minutes, 10 of 16 shooting, 4 of 6 from deep, 30 points, 7 assists, 2 steals, a block, 2 turnovers. A great night for him. And look, you know, another guy who, you know, when called upon, has stepped up. You know what? He was a steal to begin with and struggled with his shot for a bit of a stretch, but it is getting it back and has been delivering a ton of value for fantasy teams and for the Toronto Raptors. Marc Gasol, 35 minutes here, 3 of 10 shooting, 9 points, 5 boards, 5 assists, 4 blocks. Look, I tend to bag on Marc Gasol, and I think a lot of us have as well, is that it's been a struggle for him this season. He seems like kind of old, slow, you know, not really a feels like a fit on this team. But you know, take away the points and 5 boards, 5 assists, 4 blocks, 3 three-pointers. Okay, there's a lot of positive to take away from this from a fantasy perspective. It's not great shooting. There's no chips to the stripe. Maybe you could ask for more boards or things to kind of nitpick at. But, you know, we just kind of need to see signs of life right now. And playing 35 minutes and chipping in slightly more than what he has been in the past, you know what? We'll take it. And you know, pretty pleased about that. Malcolm Miller, spot start with the Raptors shorthanded, but he only played 7 minutes, rather ineffective ones. So don't pay that too much mind. Norman Powell, though, played 27 minutes. And was lousy from the floor, 0-6. Didn't make a bucket. Only 2 points off of a couple of free throws, 7 boards, 2 blocks. Look, we said, you know, Powell would be worth the speculative ad just because, again, you know, with all the injuries, someone was going to need to step up there. Powell seemed the most likely candidate. And he got the minutes for sure, but he was ineffective with them. We don't really love his fantasy game too much. Again, sometimes minutes equal opportunity, and we need to pay attention to that, but I don't know that Powell is going to be all that viable regardless. So I wouldn't pay that, Powell's minutes too much money. The guy that you should be paying a little bit of mind to is Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. And with Serge Ibaka out, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, a guy who I had watched a lot from his Nets days, put up 16 points and 11 boards with a steal and a block on 6 of 8 shooting. And these are the kinds of lines that he's capable of. He can deliver the defensive stats. He can rebound. And, you know, around the basket, he can score. So a nice double-double for him. 26 minutes. I mean, he was, struggled a bit with injuries. He was a bit in Nick Nurse's doghouse to start the season. But stepping up when they've needed him. Solid line. Consider, you know, I would look to him while Ibaka's out as long as he's out as a speculative ad. I'm totally cool with that. And Terrence Davis also 31 minutes off the bench, 15 points, 6 boards and assists. I think we would need to see more from him. At least there's a track record with Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, but none with Davis. So before we start, you know, rushing to the waiver wires for him, let's just see if he can put up another one, because that would come at the expense of Miller and Powell. But you never know, again, for as long as Lowry is out. He'd probably be out for at least another week or two with his injury. So, Kurt, what else you got for the Raptors?
Only thing I got is Chris Boucher, who was one of the most popular pickups in the last few days with Ibaka going down, you know, Grandpa Gasol getting up there. But, I mean, he's got more opportunity now than he foreseeably will be having on this team this year with Ibaka down. But only 15 minutes, 2 points, 7 rebounds, no threes, no steals, no blocks. A lot of people were picking him up for the cash counters, weren't there tonight. And if this is any indication with them being a little banged up and he's still only getting 15 minutes, you could probably hold on because he had a couple of decent lines, but they were low minutes. So he kind of reminds me, at least in this current role, kind of like a Christian Wood coming off the bench. You know what they could do in a per-minute sample size, but in only 15 to 20 minutes, these are guys that they're going to disappear from night to night. What do you think about him, Josh?
That's a good comp, Christian Wood. Yeah, because, again, you know what the guy's capable of on a permanent basis, like you said, but just simply, you know, just the consistent minutes just really aren't there. So you're going to have to kind of pick your spots with him. And it looks like, you know, they're going to go with Hollis Jefferson, it seems like. He's the veteran. He's a solid defensive guy as well. I mean, he's not an exciting guy, but again, we know that he has top 100 capabilities in him, with just some good percentages, rebounding, and defensive stats. So again, that's the guy that I'm kind of placing my chips on at the moment.
Absolutely.
And lastly, we're gonna wrap this up with the Warriors and Lakers. There's only a couple minutes left in this 1 minute, and it is all LA. Currently, as of right now, 119-92. So it looks like the Lakers are going to cruise to victory, and in this one. So we'll touch briefly on the Warriors. Kurt, you can take the Lakers. D'Angelo Russell, leading scorer, 21 points, 8 assists, a steal and a block, 5 turnovers. He is trying to do a ton. 6 of 13 from the floor, 9 of 10 from the free throw stripe. That's actually a good sign for D'Angelo Russell that he's making his free throws. It was a bit of a knock on him that he struggled from the stripe, but this is a good sign for him. But really no one else getting to the stripe on the Warriors side. So he's going to have to make magic happen with the ball in his hands as often as possible. But the Lakers really took control in this one and didn't look back. Draymond Green working his way back from an injury, 10 points, 5 assists, a rebound, a steal, and a block, 4 of 10 from the floor, 2 of 4 from deep. I think that, you know, there's we know what Draymond Green's capable of, but again, so much of what he has done has fed off of guys like Steph and Clay, and without that there, I don't know that there's going to be a whole lot of trash that he's going to be able to clean up and fill up a box score that way. Case in point, really not a lot of rebounds, and there aren't going to be a ton of rebounds available when the opposing team is shooting about 55% from the floor. So that's going to be a little bit tougher for Draymond Green, especially this isn't a strong defensive team either. So it might be tough. Maybe if you want to sell him based on name value, you never know. Defensive stats are still a plus for him. He's going to try no matter what, but this is still it's going to be a down year for Draymond in what is already a lost season for the Warriors. Glenn Robinson had 9 points, 5 assists, 4 boards, 3 steals, decent all around night. Seems to be entrenched in that starting position, playing 28 minutes. I guess you could do worse with an end of your bench guy. It seems like with Draymond Green back, Paschal ends up back in the bench. He did play 32 minutes, but didn't do much besides 15 points and 3 boards. Really wasn't any other big stats to deal with. So Robinson might be a little bit more of a consistent play there, and was able to do it across different categories. Willie Cauley-Stein started in the middle, 10 points, 5 boards, 3 assists, 2 blocks. Not bad. You know, we like seeing the block shots from WCS. I would like for there to be to have him take more advantage of his opportunity, be able to earn some more minutes. especially with really no specific timetable for Kevon Looney. But this feels like more of a ceiling night for Cauley Stein. And it's not bad. It's just it's serviceable, but it's not anything to write home about. Jordan Poole, 11 points on 4-15 shooting. A rebound, a steal, not much else to speak to. And I don't even want to get into the Warriors bench. Alec Burks played 22 minutes and shot 2 of 7. So much for keeping up that consistency. This one's gone final now. It's now 120 to 94 is your final score in favor of Lakers. We've now run through the Warriors. Kurt, put a bow on this with on the Lakers side.
Yes, sir. Can I just touch on a little bit of these Warriors guys? Kai Bowman, I'm excited about him, but the opportunity's not there right now, so he's a drop if you haven't dropped him. Now, Eric Pascal, 15-3, played more minutes than Draymond, but the peripheral stats weren't there. So, minus D'Lo, it's a different guy going off for these guys every night. That's all I got to say on them. On the Lakers, Kyle Kuzma got the start for Anthony Davis and chipped in 22 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 threes. Great for Kuzma, but he's more of a points and threes kind of guy, and he's not going to do this every night if he's going to continue to come off the bench when AD is healthy. LeBron James had 23 with 6 rebounds, 12 assists, and a 3, doing LeBron things. JaVale McGee feasted in this one with no AD for 18 points, 17 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, 3 blocks. Danny Green was quiet in 19 minutes. He's, if not already there, he's probably a cut candidate. Avery Bradley wasn't worth owning in most leagues already. Dwight Howard with 15 and 8, 3 assists and a block. He's an all right end of your bench center guy to have. Alex Caruso got 26 minutes and didn't do a ton. And I wouldn't rely on anyone on the bench here. Josh, I could be wrong. Unless you have another take on these Lakers. I don't know if we touched on the Raptors. On the Blazers. We talked a lot on the Raptors. And I think we got really stoked on them. But I don't know if we touched on the Blazers.
I think you might be right, sir.
Again, probably not a whole lot here. If you want, I can hit them real quick.
Yeah, why not? Go ahead. Sorry, sure. Folks. We're jumping around like maniacs.
Yeah,
here.
No worries. Whiteside had 12 and 9 with a block. Played 30 minutes. Fine for him. McCollum-y kind of line. 19 and 6 with 4 assists, a steal, and a block. Lillard had an off-night shooting. Only 9 points. I'm pretty sure that's a season low. But he had a salvageable line. He got you 2 triples, 10 assists, 2 blocks. Standouts here for me are Rodney Hood, who was already, I think he was around 133-ish on averages and totals sample prior to tonight. So he was already borderline standard league relevant. And he was getting close to 30 minutes a game. And without Collins and a couple of the other pieces, he had a very decent line tonight of 25 points, 5 threes, 2 rebounds and assist, and 32 minutes. So he's probably in the standard league discussion here. Nasir Little started and didn't do a whole lot. And off the bench, probably the more exciting guy is Anfernee Simons. But he's mostly a scoring and threes kind of guy. And he showed that again tonight with 17 points and 3 threes. But he's kind of a fun guy to watch if you just need some scoring and threes. Decent player there. That's all I got, Josh. What did I miss here?
No, you're all good. Yeah, nice night for Rodney Hood. Should be a standard league guy, but I am, don't expect 25 points to be the norm. You know, and that's about it. I am losing my voice here, Kurt. I apologize. This cough that I had from last week just hasn't gone away. So we're going to put a bow on this one. Thank you, Hoopballers, for listening to the Box Score Breakdown. I'm Josh Millman. You can find me on Twitter at Josh Millman. Kurt, what about you, sir?
Kurt Beach, a.k.a. Captain. You can find me on the forums at Captain Canegas. Same as on Twitter, CAPTCAINEGHIS, or look in the description of our podcast. It's probably there as well. Hit us up with your questions and feedback. We're happy to help out and let us know how we're doing.
Yeah, thank you very much. Definitely leave us a review. And again, I apologize, Hoop Bowlers. One of these days, I'll get my proper voice back, and I'll be able to get back to full health here. But again, thanks for listening to the Box Score Breakdown. Wednesday night, November 13th. Hope you enjoyed. We'll be back next week. Take it easy, guys.
Yes, sir.
This has been a Hoop Bowl presentation.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.